If you want to turn over with me to the book of Philippians, I do a lot of expository preaching, which is just verse by verse, and we try to take context out of it. We know what's happening, we know what's going on, and as well as get some topical stuff out of it. But again, it keeps us with the passage and keeps us intact, basically. So here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Typically, Paul's letters, he begins with the words of encouragement, along with assurance of his prayers and thanksgiving. You know, and he doesn't do that to butter them up, but I think he does it to encourage their hearts. He wants to encourage. He wants to spin to a positive note. And I think that's what we're called to do even today. How can we encourage? How can we lift up? How can we be positive? In the book of Philippians, through the entire book, there's very little negative tone. In some of the other books, he has to get a little more stern with some of the people. But here in the Philippians, it's never a negative tone. And in the epistle to the Philippians, we find Paul's thanksgiving here in verse 3 through 8. The apostle Paul is thankful for their fellowship. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Again, remember that the apostle Paul is in jail at this time. You know, and he has these memories. And all these memories that he had with his people at Philippi brought him joy. Every time he remembered them, it made him glad. The memories were a source of frequent joy, because every time he prayed, he included them. You can look over to me with me to Colossians chapter 1, one page over. He does this in almost every book. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Go one more page, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. The joyful memories were the result of sharing together in the work of the gospel. You know, and if you think of the life that the Apostle Paul was living while he's in prison, you know, compared to what we have today, I mean, we think this is the worst it's going to be for us, you know. I can't believe we got stuck in our house. I can't leave my house. I can't go to the grocery store. I can't. The Apostle Paul is stuck, and I don't think it's the prison that we have today. I think the prison today is a little bit soft, but the prison back then, he was probably in a 10 by 10 room, had nowhere to go, nothing to do. And if you're struggling with that, think of memories. Think of the gospel. Think of the word of God. Think of what joy can come. This is a very short time for us. But whenever the Apostle Paul thought of the people of Philippians and the church at Philippi, it brought him joy. Oh, what pleasant memories. We can think of different times of fellowship that we had here at the church. He was thinking of different times of fellowship he had with the church of Philippi, and all it did was bring him joy and peace. Because this entire book of Philippians, it talks about rejoicing. It talks about joy. It talks about just having that. From all the labor and all the work that he put in, it brings him joy. Again, despite that imprisonment, Paul could pray with joyful thanksgiving as he remembered the Philippians. You know, I heard one person put it, God gave us memories so that we might have roses in December. You know, no matter what's going on in our life, think of that memory. Or think of the future when we spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that fellowship with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can bring us so much joy, can bring us so much peace. And that's what we're called to do, is to get together, to have this time together, to bring us that joy. You know how comforting it must have been for the Apostle Paul through his imprisonment to be able to look back upon all these different relationships with the Philippians and have so much joy. What kind of memories are you creating today? It's going to affect the future one way or the other. You know, you can see in verse 6, he goes on, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is one of my favorite verses. Again, if you're struggling, the biggest thing to know is he's not done with you yet. If you're still alive, he's not done with you yet. He is still working on you. He's still changing you. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can be confident in that. You know, there's a parable in Luke chapter 15. It tells of a parable describe the father's love for someone. And it says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. You know, God is always searching for that lost person. God is always reaching out to that lost person. God is always searching. And if he's already found you, again, that brings us so much joy. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has already found you. But if you can think of that time that brought you that much joy, how much joy can you bring to someone else? How much joy can you bring to a lost person? And he's constantly looking for that lost. He's constantly looking for that unbeliever. He's constantly tapping him on the shoulder, saying, hey, come to me. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ so we could have eternal life. So he could come and find us and redeem us and bring us back to him. Again, along with that same verse, God is still working on you. Until you leave this earth, God is constantly working on you. You know, I know a lot of different people, and I'd have to ask my wife where I'm at, but how many of you will do one project at a time and don't start another one until that one is finished? But then there's the other people that have 10 different projects and won't finish one of them. You know, and I can picture that in the Lord Jesus Christ saying, hey, I'm still trying to work on you, but you're not allowing me to. You're not giving me the option. You're not giving me the opportunity. You're not allowing me to work on you. But if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a child of God's, he is working on you if you allow him to. God is working on us. He's working on us for a good work. Our salvation has its roots in the divine life of God, who planted the nature of his own son in our souls, causing the new believer to be born again. What a miraculous thing. When we say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and we put our faith and trust in that, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And we can be confident in that. Being confident in this very thing, that we now have life. That he began a good work in us, not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He began that good work and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are a work in progress. You know, Paul talks about a good work that's been started. It's God living in you. It's changing you. He's molding you. He's using you for his good pleasure. All of us are a work in progress. And again, I heard this saying the other day, you are either growing or you're dying. And it's true when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're either growing closer to Him, we're growing, you know, more in depth with Him, we're understanding Him more and more each day. We're stepping farther and farther away from sin and going closer and closer to the light. Or we're going the opposite. You can't stand still. You can't be in a stagnant life. You can't just say, here I am. You're either one or the other. You're either growing or you're dying. You are a work in progress. God is performing a top to bottom renovation of your life. And He won't complete it until Christ comes back. We've got to allow God to change us, to mold us. There's many times in life that it's going to be painful. But again, if we can think back to the memories and what change has occurred and the good that has come from it, we have to let God take control. And he finishes here. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue to work on you until you either pass from this life unto the next or until the rapture occurs. What God starts, He finishes. He will carry it out to completion. Again, if we're scared today, if we're worried today, if we don't know what life's going to bring us tomorrow, our hope and our joy comes from the rapture. Our hope and our joy comes from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope and our joy comes from having eternal life. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to care about. This is a promise that He will work on you until the day of Jesus Christ. Again, the word rapture is not in the Word of God, but it basically means we're caught up together to be with the Lord. You know, we used to have an older gentleman here, and his name was Dick Filson. He would come in every Sunday, and his favorite line is that, you know, we're justified immediately. The minute we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just as if I never sinned. But sanctification is an ongoing process each and every day. And truly, we will never be sanctified until we meet Him in the air. We're caught up. If you look over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17. Says, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day the Lord's coming back. The Apostle Paul thought he was coming back in his time. The rapture will occur. We will meet Him in the air. The Greek word translated caught up is actually harpazo, which means to take something forcefully, to steal, to capture in war. It is used of what thieves steal or valuables soldiers capture in wartime. The Lord is going to steal us away. We will be caught up to meet Him in the air when the rapture occurs. We will be taken. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the rapture occurs, you will meet Him in the air. Our work is completed at the rapture. The work going on in us, it's God's work anyway, and He's going to complete it. Look at Philippians chapter 3, and we'll get to it later on in the couple months, but Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's not our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, and the Apostle Paul here considers us rubbish. Even in Isaiah, it says our righteousness is like filthy rags. Whatever we do in and of ourselves, it's worthless. But he considers them rubbish that he may gain Christ. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. God's desire is to get all mankind into heaven. His desire is for that all men will come to a saving knowledge of his Son. That's why he went to such great lengths to send his Son to die on the cross. For everyone. It wasn't for an elect. It wasn't for a few. It wasn't for... He's paid for all mankind's sins. From day one all the way through eternity, he took care of the problem. You can think of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. He was told that he would meet him in paradise. That thief had no works, had nothing besides his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that he would save him. Philippians 1:6 tells us that no matter how imperfect we feel as Christians, no matter how unworthy we feel to get to go to heaven, it's by God's grace that started us on this journey, and it will be God's grace that completes us, completes the job and gets us to our heavenly destination. When we get there, we will find ourselves perfected in Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That right there should bring you joy and peace for the rest of your life. He goes on in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. The Philippians were willing to share in the defense and confirmation of the gospel with the help, with the support of the Apostle Paul. They were sharing together in the grace of God. And this passage here can tell us that we're not alone. Should remind us that we're not alone in our growth as Christians. We're not alone as we walk this world together. It reminds us each and every day. God began a good work in our conversion. And that work involved a lot of things. It gave us the opportunity to hear the gospel. Through the Word of God, through life, we have each other. Jesus Christ began a good work in you, and he will complete it through you. Look with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You can jump over to Titus 3, 4 through 7. But after that kindness and love of God, our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When we respond to the gospel, when we respond, we are justified by his grace. We're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're in the family. We're in the body of Christ. We're not alone anymore. This is what he's encouraging the Philippians. We're in this together. We're going to defend the gospel today. We're going to confirm the gospel today. We're going to share the gospel together. All this is going to happen together. And in verse 8, we'll tackle this and we'll close up. But for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had such a deep longing for them. He had a deep affection for them. The Apostle Paul cared for these people. the heart of the Apostle Paul, he describes it as the affection of Jesus Christ. Do we have that same love? Do we have that love that he's talking about here? Do we care for others as much as the way the Apostle Paul did, the way Jesus Christ did? The same sort of love Jesus has towards us? Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another." He commanded the disciples to love one another. The Apostle Paul commands us to love one another. This is how the world will know that we are truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can show the love of Jesus Christ. Such love is only taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." You know, he taught us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He taught us how to love one another. God the Father was willing to send his only Son to die on the cross for you and I. That is our example to learn how to love. You know, if you're struggling today with joy or peace or not sure what's going on in the world, you know, I think we can learn a lot from this passage. As Paul was sitting in prison, he still had joy. He would think back on the memories that he had with the church of Philippi, and it brought him joy. You know how close Paul must have felt towards the brethren at Philippi. It's the pleasant memories of their fellowship in the gospel of Christ. That's what gave the Apostle Paul such joy and confidence in the well-being of the Philippians. You know, that joy and confidence can go together. A lot of times the reason we lose joy is we don't have the confidence anymore. We don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have confidence in the Word of God. We don't know, maybe he doesn't know what's going on in the world today. But when we can put our faith and trust in the Lord and say, "I know what's happening, and it's happening for a reason, and it's part of God's sovereign plan," the confidence and the joy comes back. Pleasant memories come from fellowship in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we lack the joy and the confidence we desire, the key is to create pleasant memories by sharing with others the spread of the gospel. That will bring you joy. So my final two questions, has God began a good work in you? Has God began a good work in you? Where are you at? Are you a new believer? Have you been a believer all your life? Where are you at? He's working on you each and every day. And will you allow him to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the book of Philippians. We thank you for what the Apostle Paul wrote. Just with so much uncertainty going on in our environment, in our world today, we just pray that we will come back to you, we'll come back to the Word of God, and that we'll say, "Yes, Lord, I have joy, I have peace, I have confidence, because this is not my home. I'm here for a short time. Nobody can take my salvation away from me. Nobody can take my peace from me. Nobody can take my joy from me. It doesn't matter what's going on in our environment. We are the reality. And with the help of you, with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, what your Son did on the cross of Calvary, we can have that joy and that confidence. He who hath began a good work in you will be completed till the day of Jesus Christ." And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.